This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, the mummy of an Incan girl was sent back to Bolivia. It had been donated to Michigan State University in the 19th century. Bill Lovis worked for years to get the mummy sent back to Bolivia. Lovis is a professor emeritus of anthropology at Michigan State University, and he joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
So how did this Incan mummy end up at Michigan State to begin with?
We have limited information, but basically the accession record from Michigan State University suggests that it was donated by William B. McCreary, who was a trustee, a board of trustees member at MSU in the late 19th century. William McCreary was the consul, the U.S. consul to Chile at the time, and somehow he obtained an Incan mummy along with a variety of objects that had been placed with her in a stone tomb south of La Paz. And we don't know how it came either out of the stone tomb, how he acquired it, or it's the precise way in which it was transported to MSU, but it did arrive here in 1890 and was accessioned into the MSU collections.
Well, let's talk about the mummy itself.
Sure.
How far does it date back?
Okay, we have a radiocarbon date that puts it in the mid-15th century, so in the 1470 range. And that radiocarbon date comes from some corn, a kernel of corn that was in a pouch with the mummy. So if the radiocarbon date is correct, it is, in fact, something that dates prior to the arrival of Columbus in the Western Hemisphere, and certainly prior to the European conquest of the Inca.
Why was it important to you to return this Incan girl, this mummy of this Incan girl, back to her homeland?
A number of years ago, back in about 1980, several of the curators at the MSU Museum came to the conclusion that it was really inappropriate for MSU to be displaying human remains in a public space, and so we catalyzed a movement to remove her from exhibition, and she was, and so she came off exhibit. So there was that part of it. The second part of it had to do with storage facilities. We have storage facilities that are relatively stable in terms of their temperature and humidity, but they are certainly not designed for the long-term storage of mummified human remains. Thirdly, I tried to get a number of people interested in doing some basic documentary research on the mummy, and I was unsuccessful at doing that. So, you know, with that trifecta in place, I spoke with our acting director at the time, Laura Helou, and I posed the proposition that we, in fact, based on these three observations, that perhaps it would be a better thing for us to do and repatriate to Bolivia.
Well, let's talk about why it took so long. I mean, besides the coca leaves she's carrying, why did it take so long to send it back to Bolivia?
One doesn't just say, gee, we're going to give you back your mummy, and then somehow give it to somebody, and then it's done. This is governed by bilateral accords between the United States and the nation that one wishes to repatriate to. And so these bilateral accords basically tell us that what we need to do is initiate conversations with the appropriate parties in the potentially recipient state, and that what we want to do is we have to actually ask them whether they would be willing to receive the human remains. Or any artifacts, any cultural materials that we might potentially want to return. So these are all bureaucratic procedures. She was also buried with plant materials that are still used in local ritual, things like corn and beans, and even a pouch full of coca leaves, which posed a very interesting issue for the repatriation.
My bad.
We had to involve the Drug Enforcement Administration through the Office of General Counsel that we had controlled substances, even though they were 500 years old and had no toxins left in them. They were still controlled by legislation, by the law. So we had to work through that. So you know, even though I, in many respects, you know, was the person who coordinated a lot of this, I could not have done it without literally dozens of other people, and I'm not even naming a lot of the people who were involved in some of the scientific documentation.
It seems like the fact that Michigan State University owned the remains of this little girl, it seems a very odd concept, but yet it's happened in Western countries all over Europe and North America. How has thinking changed recently about that?
Well, it depends on the institution and it depends on the Western country as to how they view that kind of concept. Most of the archaeologists and museum people that I work with really don't look at the ownership of human remains by an institution as an appropriate perspective on the way in which human remains might or should be treated. On the other hand, most of the museum people and archaeologists and physical anthropologists I know are eager to learn as much about the past as we can from those human remains. So at some level, there needs to be a cooperative relationship that allows that kind of scientific research to take place.
How do you feel about the return of this little girl's remains to her homeland?
Well, actually, I feel very good that it has finally been accomplished. And in fact, it was only really accomplished about 2 weeks ago, even though I started all of this in early 2016. I was very pleased that all of the time and effort that both I and other people had put into returning her to her country and to appropriate storage with a custodianship that would allow the Bolivian people to have access to her, that all of that had been accomplished, that we were successful at doing that. So I was really quite gratified that the effort that we'd put into it at a variety of different institutional levels actually had a positive effect here, and that she will be properly cared for and she will be able to be a part of the tangible heritage of Bolivia for the Bolivian people.
Bill Lovis is Professor Emeritus of Anthropology at Michigan State University. Thanks for telling us about this young lady.
My pleasure.